Welcome to Registered Ear Offenders, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z on SkidRowStudios.com in collaboration with Extreme Talk XM 165. Hello, everyone. Hello, Chris. What's up?
Sal, I'm gonna give it my all. I'm gonna give it my best, despite being gravely ill. So I want to apologize to everyone in the studio. I didn't shake any hands. I didn't make any contact with anyone on the way in. It's because I'm knocking on death's door, and I don't want anyone to ride my coattails.
And meanwhile, here I am in an enclosed space, no windows, no ventilation. So this makes perfect sense, of course.
We die together, or we die apart. Does that make sense?
I don't know where I signed that in the contract exactly.
I'm on three different types of medication, so if I say things that don't make a whole lot of sense, you'll understand.
Really?
You'll forgive me. You'll give me a mulligan, won't you?
What kind of meds do you have? You have any to share? You have any to sell?
No, nothing worth sharing. I have a cough suppressant.
Oh,
I have some kind of nasal decongestant.
That's no
fun. Your basic ibuprofen, your basic kind of same thing you'll find over the counter, but maybe in stronger doses.
I'm looking for Vicodin. You know, a lot of people are really into Vicodin. I've never tried a Vicodin recreationally. What's it like?
I've never tried heroin, and I've never tried narcotics, I think is what they call them. But one time I did down a Vicodin with two vodkas.
Ooh.
And I have never felt so pain-free in my life, so carefree. I mean, I was, talk about floating on a cloud. It was...
Now, are we talking about physical pain and emotional pain, or just physical pain?
Both.
Really?
Yeah, both. I mean, it was just the most comfortable I've ever been in my life. And fortunately, I don't know how to find them. Otherwise, I probably would,
What illness do I have to feign to be prescribed a Vicodin?
Vicodin is like industrial strength painkiller. So you need to get you need to wrench your knee out on the football field or something like that.
Can I lie? Can I, the way that people get their marijuana prescription cards, people lie about all kinds of shit. Can I lie about shit to get a Vicodin prescription?
I think it's against the law. I mean, wouldn't that constitute doctor shopping?
I'm saying if I were to lie, which I would never, were I to, what would I lie about?
Of course, doctors are trained to spot fakers and spot the reason.
I did a commercial in Spanish. Believe it or not, to our listeners who know I don't speak Spanish, I did a commercial in Spanish. And it was basically sue your employer commercial. I think it was. So I had to be like that bumblebee in The Simpsons, like, oh, mi espalda. That's what I did.
Was it for accidentes?
No, it was for mi abogado.
For those of you who don't live in the Los Angeles area, there is a guy out here that seems to have cornered the market on suing your employer, at least for Latinos. Like that's how you know something shady is when the advertisements are entirely in Spanish. They don't even bother to translate them. So he's got this mustache. He's like, I mean, he looks like he'd be like a colonel in the Spanish Revolution from the 1800s or something. But anyway, he's an attorney, and his thing is accidentes. And that just means in Spanish, accidents.
Yes.
And then you see that guy, basically you call him and you go, how can I profit from the fact that I showed up to work hungover?
they have this one commercial, I caught it the other day, and it was all in Spanish. And it's, effectively it had this guy with his arm in a sling, and then it has the attorney come on. And the attorney's like, he speaks in very fast Spanish. And then it shows the guy get a check. And then in the next scene, he's in a kitchen full of brand new appliances. And then, I swear to God, and then in the next scene, it shows him walking into a limousine with his arm in a sling. And I was like, damn it. I'm on the wrong side of Mexican, I'll tell you that.
That is so disturbing, the idea they got. Like, your life, you will be wounded. Yes, you will be wounded. It will cost you an appendage. But you will live far better than you. And here's the thing. You won't. Because I guarantee that lawyer's going to lop at least a third of that settlement off the top.
Would you be willing to sacrifice a rotator cuff?
Absolutely not. Those injuries follow you for life, man. And the only way you can fix it is with surgery. And things are just never the same, man, especially when you're older. You don't heal like you used to,
I wonder what happens to a lot of these UFC fighters. I'm a big fan of the UFC. What's going to happen to these guys when they're older? Are they going to be just have arthritis? Are they going to be total messes? Like Tito Ortiz had back surgery. These guys? They have to look forward to just a old age of just physical pain.
It wasn't too long ago that I was at Wells Fargo. I was at my bank, and I saw Chuck Liddell.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the window next to me, and he just basically is punch drunk, just kind of slow and lethargic. And apparently there was some confusion about the exchange that was being made with the clerk, and he said, hey, I'm sorry. If you've been hit in the head as many times as I have, you'd understand.
Also, Chuck Liddell was rumored to use drugs, possibly Vicodin.
Did Did you ever see that hilarious video of Chuck when he was working out nude with his beautiful younger blonde girlfriend?
Yes, I saw that video.
And they're doing this kind of wacky, it almost looks like a Benny Hill, like the ending of Benny Hill, where they're just focusing on, you know, like one exercise, one body part. Apparently, he'll get in there, he'll bang out like 10 reps of like a leg press, then he'll run and he'll jump on the bike, and his girlfriend's doing the same. And they're both nude for some strange reason.
Well, you know, none of us within eyesight of me would anybody care to see nude, especially working out, except for our guest today.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, Sal, I've combed over her bio and I'm impressed because she comes from extremely humble beginnings.
You said extremely, really. You really stressed that.
I don't know if you've ever heard of Bayonne, New Jersey, but it's almost mystical in its reputation, but not in the same way that Camelot is, in the opposite way.
Really? I mean, her beginnings are more humble than my beginnings in Pacoima, would you say?
And even when she ascended out of her beginnings, she went to University of West Virginia. So yes, she's really climbed her way out. And then, I don't want to give it away, but let's just say she made it to the top.
Well, let me tell you something. I've gotten a lot of likes on her picture that I posted.
How could you not? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? She is continuing the tradition. If you've noticed, Jeremy Hansen, if you've noticed, our recent guests have been lovely ladies. So she will continue our tradition. Hey, it's fine with me if Registered Ear Offenders just keeps going with lovely ladies exclusively.
But this is kind of cool because we have had people who work in the fitness industry in various capacities. But I think our guest today is unique. In that we've never had a competition athlete.
Yeah, not to mention, I want to ask her how she has juggled and balanced her life as a mom, her life as a wife, her wife as my soon-to-be mistress, how she can juggle all that and her fitness career. That's what I'd like.
She's going to have to give something up to work you in. I hope she's aware of that.
What else we got on our show today, Chris?
Oh my God, we got confessions.
Oh yeah. You didn't like the intro before, but you better love it today.
Oh, we revamped it? You revamped it?
No, I'm just saying you better love it today. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
We got road rage, which I think we've done before.
Yes.
Right, but we got a brand new segment.
I've got a great story to tell.
Followed by Chris's Corner, of course, Sal's Me Time, formerly Sal's Weekly Rant, and then our guest.
It'll be like Myanmar, formerly Burma.
The lovely, talented Melissa Martin Franzia, that is our guest for today. And last but not least, under the influence, crazy things you've seen and or done while under the influence of alcohol.
That's right. So let's go ahead and get our show started with confessions. You can't tell that's me, can you? Can you tell that's my voice? Chris is dying over here. Jeez. Can we get some Vicodin over here, please? Wow. Chris, what do you say I started off? I'll start it off. My confession for today. Chris, do you know that when I travel, whenever I'm on a bus, a train, or a plane, one of my favorite pastimes is lying to the passenger next to me? Yeah, because, you know, I get tired of telling people what I do. Oh, I host an internet radio show. I'm a comedian. I'm a trainer. I have an eBay business. I get tired of telling them all that. I'm bored of myself. So what I do is I lie to my fellow passengers. When they ask, what do you do? A common occupation for me is forensic psychologist. I'm a forensic psychologist and I help the FBI in their criminal profiling.
And you really know enough on the subject to lie convincingly?
I know more about criminal profiling than your average person on the street. Maybe not more than somebody who's studied or at least seen true TV.
Jeremy, you might want to isolate that sound bite, because if he's ever up on murder charges, that is going to be played before the jury right there.
But the interesting thing is, when I tell people that I'm a forensic psychologist and help the FBI with criminal profiling, they're quite impressed and interested. And we can engage in a nice conversation. They could tell me about how they saw on court TV this guy poison his wife and blah, blah, blah. I also casually mention how many people are poisoned annually and never get caught.
Oh, is it a real figure, or do you make up the figure and nobody ever thinks to question otherwise?
Well, the problem with lying is, oh, what a tangled web we weave. So I got to make up all these statistics and facts on the spot.
But so none of them are real. You didn't even do the homework to at least cite some real statistics.
That would take more effort. This is all in fun. That would make it work.
I know a young female comedian who was in Vegas recently. She came back. She was talking about it on stage. Apparently, she was approached by a guy at a bar who told her he was a Navy SEAL.
Oh.
So naturally, she melted into his arms. And when it was all over, later on, she tells her friends, like, oh, you know, I had sex with a Navy SEAL. And they go, you know that he couldn't tell you that, right? He's not allowed to tell you if he's a Navy SEAL. But, you know, I guess he found a girl, you know, who under maybe 30 would know that? Female under 30 would know that?
I think the problem is she misheard him. What he said was, I ran into SEAL at Old Navy. I think that's what what was really said. Chris, that is my confession today, that I lie about who I am. That's the good news about being a nobody out there on the road, is that you can lie. It's fun. Chris, what's your confession today?
Sal, I told a lie, what they call a lie of omission, to a good friend very recently.
It's only called lies of omission to women.
Here's the thing. The misconception was his. But once I figured out that he had made this misconception, I allowed him to go with it because I didn't see the harm in it. Here's what happened. I book a couple dates on the road, right? And we've got a couple days in Laughlin, Nevada, followed by a Monday night at a casino. And I was just hoping to add that on, make a little more money. Well, it turns out the casino is 10 hours, 10 additional hours each way. Adds to the trip. I assumed that they were going to be next to each other and it would just be like a boon, you know, just another night of work. So we're looking at 18 hours for me, opening pay, wear and tear on the car, absolutely not worth it. I mean, in the long term, I'd probably lose money on the thing. So I told him that. I said, hey, man, I'm going to ask you a favor. Let's just get out of this, you know. Well, in the course of our conversation, I mentioned that I took a pay cut. And this is true. The gig before in Laughlin used to pay $500. It was a great gig. You're in the same place. You got your hotel room paid for. So you basically didn't spend any money over there. But anyway, I told him, I said, look, you know, they cut it down to 300 now. This is entirely true. So it's a 40% pay cut. But I think at some point he conflated the pay cut with the casino gig. So he said, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to drive an extra 10 hours each way for a gig that's paying a lot less now than it was only a few months ago. And I just kind of let that be. Because the point is I needed to shake that gig anyway. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see the harm. It was the same end result. The misconception was his. And frankly, this is the kind of guy who, while I do consider him a friend, he has pulled a couple fast ones on me at times.
Mm-hmm. So he deserved it.
Well, you know, I try to stray away from phraseology like that, but I'll tell you one time he got me and a bunch of our little fellow comic friends from Orlando to reserve a night off. And you know me, Sal, I don't take nights off. I'm working or I'm out doing sets and, so we wait for weeks, and that night finally comes up, and like that morning, he sends us all like a text. He's like, "Hey, I'm going to Vegas. I got a friend that's playing Vegas. I'm gonna go hang there and party with him." So like, you know, all of us had set aside this night at his request to get together and write and kind of hang out like we did in the old days, you know, when we all started in Orlando. And then he just bailed, like without so much as an apology. You know, he didn't seem to see the wrong with that. And so, anyway, I just say, you know what? What's the harm? So I let it go.
I need to look out for you, though, because basically, could you pull a lie by omission with me? Have you lied to me by omission? That means yes. That was a pregnant pause.
Let's do another confessions next week. I need a little time to think it over. Remember, I'm medicated right now, so I'm sure there's something up in there.
Next week's confession is when Chris and I have lied to one another. I'm trying to... Let me think about that.
That's funny.
I know. I'm trying to wonder if I've ever lied to you. Let me think about that. Maybe I have. I'm no saint. Sorry, listeners. You are listening to Registered Ear Offenders on Extreme Talk XM 165 in collaboration with Skid Row Studios. Also brought to you by Audible.com. If you want a free audiobook download, go to audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios to get yourself a free audiobook download and have a pleasantly voiced celebrity possibly read you a book. Maybe an erotica. If I were going to do an audiobook, I would like to have a hot woman read an erotica novel to me. Maybe what's that? The 50 Shades of Grey, maybe.
Yeah, I'm such a square, Sal. I love books, man. I mean, I read like crazy. In fact, I used to work at a place and my nickname was Book because I always had one tucked in my waistband, kind of hidden from the powers that be whatever.
But to me, books are a means to an end. I want to get that information off the page, and reading is the means to the end. If somebody can read it to me, I'll take that.
I don't disagree with you. In fact, when I was dating a comic a couple of years ago, we used to travel sometimes, do gigs that were several hours away. We would occupy the time by reading some book that would, like a John Grisham that we both enjoyed or something, and one of us would read until our throats got sore, and then we'd switch.
Nice. Let's get into our next segment, which is Road Rage. In hindsight, I wonder if that song is a little more pleasant and sedate than some of the stories that we might tell related to road rage. Shit that goes down out there on the roads of America or the world. Hell, I don't know. To our listeners across the globe in Argentina and Pakistan, it's probably even crazier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. If you've ever been in like Lima, Peru, or even Ecuador, I mean, there's sometimes the roads don't have lanes. You just, you know, you kind of figure it out as you go along.
You know what's big lately on YouTube are these, a lot of Russian videos. Russia, I don't know. This is like anti-tourism propaganda. Essentially, all these people that road rage pulling out machetes on each other, pulling out sledgehammers on the roads of Russia. My story is not that bad, but once upon a time, I was a little boy growing up in the San Fernando Valley. My parents were separated at the time. My mother had a new boyfriend, I believe, but my father definitely had another woman who he cheated on my mom with. So one day at an intersection in Canoga Park, our cars are face to face. My mother and I in our car, my dad and his mistress in her car, face to face. I believe it was in Woodland Hills or Canoga Park. I believe it was Canoga Avenue, Victory, somewhere in that vicinity near the Topanga Plaza. Our cars are face to face. My mother says, "There's your dad and that bitch." My mother, in the middle of the intersection, two cars face to face, us making a left, them making a left, face to face. My mother puts the car in park, jumps out of the car, sits on top of the hood of my dad's car, proceeds to then call me over. I then join her. So my mother and I sitting on the hood of the car in the middle of the intersection, cars honking. It would have made YouTube. You know, all the shit that went down when I was a kid, I would have been a YouTube sensation. I was born too early.
So bring the picnic basket. Bring a blanket.
So after like literally 15 minutes of sitting on the hood of this car, looking at my dad's eyes huge, his girlfriend's eyes huge, they're freaking out. They don't know what the hell to do. They can't move the car. He didn't want to get out and start wrestling.
And the people behind him just started going around.
Oh, people start going around. People start parking, honking, yelling. It was a big fiasco. After like 10, 15 minutes, my mother says to me, "What do you want to do? What do you want to do?" I was like, "I want to go home.
I want to go find a normal family.
I'm 10. I want to go home, Mom." So finally, we get off the car, go back into our car. They take off. That was my road rage story. My mother flipping out. And believe me, that is one of many.
Did your dad come home later and go, "Wasn't me"? hold on. Was it her car or his car to make matters worse? So he couldn't even deny it.
You know what? We were the rich of the poor. So we usually would have about three cars. So I think that was her car and my dad was in his car. I'll never forget the license plate, 477-UBY. I remember seeing his license plate drive off. Fuck. Why'd you have to get me emotional today, Chris?
Sal's toys were in the backseat.
What's your road rage story?
I'm going to take some liberties with the genre, Sal, but I think it'll work. A couple years ago, I saw something, man, that it just made me so happy. Because, for the most part, I believe the world is a shitty place. And life is only worth living for a very, very small percentage of people. But in this one case, I saw karma, do its job. Karma, that lazy, useless fuck. These teenage punks were driving like a hoopty, like a Snoop Dogg video type car. And just to be jag-offs, when the light turned green, the turn light, they hung a left, right? But for no good reason, like the guy, I mean, he just stomped the accelerator and cut the wheel just because he wanted to make a lot of noise, make a big show, right? Well, when he, imagine, let's call it a 90-degree turn just to make it easier for the listener to imagine.
Yeah.
He cuts left, right? And the back tires slide out from under him.
What?
So now, no, instead of it being a 90-degree turn, it ends up being like an acute angle. Let's say like a 20-degree turn because the back tires go out. So now the car is no longer oriented with the street. It's oriented directly towards the median curb.
Yeah.
And as soon as those wheels catch top speed, this thing just shoots forward and just smashes this concrete curb, man. And he had to get out, and the guy's all like, trying to act like he's not, like this isn't the most embarrassing moment of his life because he just literally cost thousands of dollars in damage to his car for no good reason, just to be a jag-off, And I mean, boom, and his two friends are out there, and everybody's trying to avoid eye contact and shit. The car is hung over the median as if it had fallen out of the sky and landed. Like, it looked like it was hung over, so just sagging it like it was dead, man.
How long ago was this?
Yeah, a good 17, 18 years
ago. See, this is before the memes fails. This would have been a wonderful fail for fail blog.
Yeah, this is even better than the guy who's showing off on his motorcycle. The motorcycle gets out from underneath him, and he's trying to like run alongside of it. He's just holding it by the handlebars. Yes. The motorcycle is completely independent of him now. Mm-hmm.
There is Chris's road rage story. We are moving on now quickly. You all set, Chris?
I am.
It is your time. Spotlight on you for Chris's Corner.
Why worry? God is in control. While working as a caterer many years ago, one of my assignments brought me to the front lines of organized religion's war on intellectual evolution. The event was a dinner for a church congregation raising money to build a monument to God. Or what us hell-bent heathens would call an office building with 8 floors worth of lucrative commercial office space to rent. My first clue that the attendees were not of sound mind was when I overheard a woman, your quintessential moral majority holier-than-thou housewife, voicing concern over the proliferation of witchcraft in society. I was at the flea market today, and witchcraft was all around me. There were palm readers and tarot cards. It was scary. You know what scares me, Sal? Crusades, inquisitions, witch trials, pro-lifers who take life, and priests who rape toddlers, often with impunity. I would rather have a Wiccan burning candles next door than Christians burning Wiccans. And just when I thought I had surmounted the summit of human gullibility, I overheard another woman recounting a heated verbal exchange she'd engaged in earlier that day, wherein she verbally warned demons to stay away from her new car. One of her cuckoo Christian cohorts replied, "I love it when demons manifest themselves only to be squashed." Demons manifest themselves. Has anyone ever called the Ghostbusters to exorcise a demon from their Dodge? When your world revolves around a man-made deity who is untenable by any of the 5 senses or any kind of scientific methodology, you are a schizophrenic. And the fact that your delusion is shared by millions of other people on this planet makes your mental illness no less serious. Get help. That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for stopping by. By the way, every word of that is true.
You know who also pisses me off are those pagans. Those pagans are just wreaking havoc on this
stomping
world.
Stomping around in their fuzzy Chewbacca-looking pants.
You know what, Chris? It had been too long. It has been at least a week since you've gone on a tirade against religion. It had been too long.
Unfortunately, Sal, the show is only airs once a week, so it does limit my ability to.
All right, we're going to get into our next segment. We want to remind you, of course, you're listening to Registered Ear Offenders, also known as REO, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z., recorded here at SkidRowStudios.com in collaboration with Extreme Talk XM 165. You say that like a monster truck announcer. That's pretty funny. All right, we're getting into Sal's Me Time. Next week, I have an appointment with the Big Brothers program. I pass the phone in an interview. Now I meet with a recruiter in person, and I'm scared as hell. They do a background check, and I have a couple of arrests from my early 20s, one for shoplifting, one for selling weed, but that's not why I'm scared. They work with kids from all walks of life, including so-called at-risk youth. Some who might have been or might still be involved with gangs, but that's not why I'm scared. I'm scared that I'll mess a kid up, even worse than he already is. What do I know about being a big brother? Talk about the blind leading the blind. It's like dating, only in this arena, I have no experience. What if we hang out for a few months, then his family moves, or I move, leaving a void in his heart, like my mother's countless boyfriends, or my godmother Alma? She gave me the best gifts. I haven't seen her in 30 years. A business associate warned me to reconsider, telling me that something like this is for life. Another friend told me about her friend, who is a big brother, and had to bail out his little brother out of jail. When they asked me what kind of kid I wanted to be teamed with, I told them I was open. But the truth is, I want a well-behaved, curious boy between 9 and 12 with an attractive single mother. I want what I was. Am I merely using this unforeseen kid, using him to attempt to heal my own wound? If I can give to someone else something that I never had, I too will benefit. Or will I? Or will he? Maybe I just want to be a dad. When I was in my late teens, I got my girlfriend pregnant. She had an abortion. 3 years later, I got my next girlfriend pregnant. She had an abortion. A few years later, a former lover approached me at work, telling me that she had given birth to my son. My mother was ready to hire a lawyer. I demanded a paternity test. The result was negative, but secretly, I wanted little Christian to be my son. Perhaps I don't know what I'm getting into. Maybe I should take the advice of my business associate and reconsider. After all, this is for life, for his life, for my life. Sal's Me Time. Thank you very much.
So on this, Sal, we couldn't be more opposite. We couldn't be, we are diametrically opposed.
Are we?
Sal seems to want a kid, and I seem to want one so bad, not want one so bad that, you know, on occasion I look at my long, healthy, abnormally large balls and think about smacking them with a hammer, just in case.
Well, you know, with our sex lives, Chris, mine and yours, I don't think either of us have to even ponder this question whatsoever.
That's true. Fortunately, the Arabic numerals that we use in the English world only ends at zero. So my chances of getting a girl pregnant are zero. And when in fact, I guess they're less than that. But there's no number less than zero. So,
Chris,
we have a guest.
We have a lovely guest. Tell our listeners who she is and give her her amazing introduction.
I'll try and keep it short, Sal. She is a fitness competitor. We're going to have her tell us exactly what it is that she does. 42 years old, you'd never guess it. Comes out of the lovely town of Bayonne, New Jersey, which The Daily Show recently did a report on. And looks like she's been dancing and doing athletics her whole life. Went to the University of West Virginia, did crew. I mean, this chick is like an athlete to the core, huh? Lived in Montana for some time. Wow, where to begin? I'm going to go ahead and just bring her up and let her tell us about it, Sal. Please welcome our guest for today.
Melissa Martin Franzia.
Melissa Martin Franzia, there it is.
Melissa, welcome to Registered Ear Offenders. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Melissa, I apologize that I botched your intro. I don't know if you've been listening, but I really am knocking on death's door right now.
So. It's okay.
Melissa, you're in good company. He's botched many an intro.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and in all fairness, you're not the first. You're just one of many.
Welcome to the show. I understand that you had a workout today.
I did.
What did you do today?
I did a lot of lunges. What we do is interval training, and we work with weights, and we work it with weights with a high heart rate just to get the most out of a workout.
So yes. It's kind of maybe like a happy medium between weight training and cardiovascular fitness?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Damn.
Now, clarify some things for us. You have entered figure competition, which is different than fitness competition, or did you enter fitness, which is different than figure?
My last competition was a figure competition. I had previously done a fitness competition when I was 26.
Okay.
And that required a lot more coordination.
Is that where you have to do push-ups and they make you do the splits and all that?
Yeah, you have to do a routine, a dance.
They don't make the guys do that, if you notice. Talk about a sexist industry. They make the women do one-arm push-ups and splits and all that. They don't make the guys do that.
No. It's really challenging to do the fitness.
Now, you said we, so I take it you routinely work out with a set individual, one person, right?
Actually, I have two trainers now. Mm-hmm. I did have just one. I was working just with Natalie Bernard.
Yes, Natalie Bernard, beautiful Frenchie fitness.
Yes, and she's amazing. And she just opened up her own studio, the
she
Beat
did.
Fitness.
Yeah, oh, she's not at Steel Barbells anymore.
She's still at Steel Barbells, but she has a Taibo Fitness studio where she does classes. And it's on Woodman in Sherman Oaks. But I just started training with Nita Marquez, who is helping me more with the bodybuilding aspect of the show.
You know, talk about degrees of separation. Nita's son was very close to being my son on the University of Phoenix commercial. We had two auditions together. He was great. Mm-hmm. He was a really great actor. But the other kid looked like me more.
Oh, wow.
So that was the deal. But that would have been, talk about incestuous. My son, Nita's son, your trainer,
yeah,
Nita.
She's incredible. I'm sorry.
No, please. For those of you who maybe missed the show a couple weeks ago, Sal has talked about he booked his first national commercial in the not-too-distant past. So keep your eyes peeled for it because it is a national, right? It's everywhere, right? I know I've seen it at least 100 times.
It's been all over the place. Yes,
look,
it has.
Look for the guy building a bookshelf with his kid.
With a couple of wonderful little kids. Now, when it comes to these figure or fitness competitions, the main thing is diet, would you say? In fact, you know, I remember when I started in fitness 20 years ago, they said diet is 60%. 10 years ago, they said diet is 70%. 5 years ago, they said diet is 80%. It keeps on moving up. Pretty soon, diet's just going to be 100% and you don't have to work out anymore.
Well, yeah, I guess I've heard that it was 80%. Diet is definitely key in getting in shape.
What? Walk us through, let's say, an average lunch for you. Like what you've had or what you're going to have today.
Okay.
Well, this depends on if you're like in training
exactly.
or in season, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, are you in training for a particular competition?
Right now I'm off season, but I have an idea of a show that I will be doing probably in 6 months. So I'm still eating healthfully and I'm watching what I eat, but I'm not on a specific diet to lose fat and weight. I'm trying to build muscle now.
So give us the off-season diet. and workout, and give us the in-season diet and workout.
I am both diets, I eat about 6 times a day, and I eat a lot of protein. I eat carbohydrates too. I mean, everybody's afraid of carbohydrates for some reason, but I eat.
No one in this studio is.
I eat brown rice. I eat, you know, sweet potatoes. I eat, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually on an all carb diet right now.
It's good when you're sick.
So your the carb intake primarily sweet potatoes, brown rice.
Right.
And you don't eat white flour or any of that?
No, I never do anyway, but no.
Now, you're of Italian lineage.
I am.
Not having pasta?
Yeah, I have pasta. I mean, I have a cheat day. I can eat, you know, whatever I want once a week. And
you cheat on your husband day?
No.
Which day is that? Is that Friday? Is that at 1 p.m.?
Yeah, it's usually Friday from 1 to 2, and we missed it because we're doing a goddamn
damn
show.
Damn it.
But yeah, I'll go all day. Even though it's supposed to be like a cheat meal, but I'll have the cheat day and I'll eat all kinds of terrible things.
Come on, what's cheating for you?
Her cheating is probably like a normal person's day, you know?
No, it's bad.
Okay. So hang on, back up for 1 second because I want to get into the cheat day. Mm-hmm. But you have the brown rice, you have the sweet potatoes. What do you got? Tuna, chicken breast? Is that the sort of thing?
I eat tuna, chicken breast. I eat red meat, very lean red meat, because the way my body works, I can do that. And it's good for me. I ate red meat up until the week of my show. Mm-hmm. And then I went on just strictly tilapia.
What about quinoa?
You know, quinoa, I do eat that now. I don't know necessarily going forward what my diet's going to be like because it's going to be different this time. But it wasn't on my last diet. Quinoa is great for you. It's the only grain that has protein in it. Mm-hmm. So, and it's good.
Yeah. And trendy.
Very trendy.
Trendy is good. So then, leading up to the competition, what do you plan? I mean, I'm thinking of when I used to run marathons. We would have the 6 months out, 3 months out, 1 month out, the week of. Mm-hmm. So how do things change and morph as you approach? Like, let's say, starting at the 30-day countdown.
Generally, the diet starts. My last diet I did for 12 weeks. This time I'll probably just diet down for 2 months, so 8 weeks. It changes. You know, it depends on where I am physically. You know, if I need to burn more fat, it changes accordingly. You know, it all depends on where I am and, you know, yeah, just where I am.
From where you are now, how much weight do you intend to lose before your next performance?
Now, we don't normally ask these questions, but how much do you weigh now and how much do you get down to when you compete?
I weigh right now 143. Mm-hmm. What I got down to my last competition, I was 129.
129 at how tall?
5'6".
How about in the heels? How tall are you in the heels?
I guess there's 5-inch heels.
Oh my God.
5'11".
You got to continue the show for a few minutes, Chris, without me. Okay.
So I am curious. It looks like you moved around a little bit. I love that you wrote in your bio you were trying to find yourself. So you moved to Montana. That's funny because I would think most Montanans go somewhere else to find them. You know what I mean? It's seems unusual. Did you were you living in a somewhat urban area at least when you moved there, or where did you wind up?
As urban as it gets in Montana. Yeah, I lived in Missoula, and I did find myself. My mom told me, she said, "You're gonna find yourself because there's nothing else to do there."
There's nothing else to find. Now, did finding yourself consist of some sort of a Carlos Castaneda, Don Juan, you know,
hallucinogenic state? Binges, yeah.
I'm not sure what that means, but I found myself broke. I found myself.
Well, you can just come to LA for that.
Yeah. So
Chris and I have been doing a great job of finding ourselves.
And then I moved to San Francisco, and I think that's really where I found myself.
Mm-hmm. Cause you're a city girl at heart.
I'm definitely a city girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now would you say that you are naturally lean or slim? Like, in other words, if you didn't work out and just ate like a normal average diet, would you be heavy or would you be slender?
I'm pretty lean, just mm-hmm. my body composition. I think my body's very, you know, muscular because mm-hmm. of my heritage. I think, you know, some Italians, not all Italians, but Southern Italians, they work, you know, their workhorse is in the field. And I mm-hmm. think that's carried on through my genetics. Mm-hmm.
I just found out recently, I only found this out within the last year or so, that my great-grandmother was Italian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I have a I wonder if that benefits me or does not benefit me. Maybe I came from the fat Italians.
Maybe, yeah, maybe they were Northern Italians.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's true.
So this is, in your bio here, you briefly talk about winning your first competition. It says your fitness competition. Looks like you placed very well, or did you win? I was the most symmetrical woman there. They kept me out there for all the comparisons. And then...
Well, the truth is...
What a bummer, huh?
Is that... that routine problem, you know, coordination.
Yeah. And that's why you went from fitness to figure.
Yeah. Yes. And figure didn't exist back then. And I got really stage fright when I had to do my my routine. And that's where I kind of, you know, didn't do well. But as far as, you know, the body comparisons and the symmetry, they did use me for all the girls that I was competing against to, you know, for comparison. So that was good.
So in 2 out of 3 of the prongs, if you will, the litmus test, you did incredibly well. And then you froze up for the dance part.
I did, yes.
I've done the same thing.
What?
Yeah, well, nothing like that. But, you know, it was Bill and Ted's, you know, that they do at Universal Studios in Orlando,
yeah.
Florida, man.
Yeah, he was up to be in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, a live stage show at Universal.
Oh, in front of thousands of people. They do it every year. Write a new show. It's really, really cool. But I mean, they were escorting me through private doors and all kinds of stuff. And then after the dance segment, they were like, "See ya,
thank you." Now, Melissa, you have a background in swimming, because I remember when I first met you, one thing I noticed was your exceptional shoulders. You have powerful shoulders, and I actually would wonder. Oh, I wonder if she was a volleyball player, because I dated a girl who's a volleyball player, had shoulders similar to yours. And now, when you speak of symmetry in these figure competitions, what is it that the judges are looking for when they speak of symmetry? I'm imagining it's different for men and women.
That's a good question. I think just that you have a balanced body shape, you know, that, you know, your shoulders are balanced with your hips, you know, kind of like an X or a Y,
yes.
You know, body type.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard. It should look like an X as much
right.
as to the extent that's possible. I do have to ask you, Melissa, to maybe cover up that ring because it's blinding me.
Yes, you have a giant ring that is literally dwarfing our disco ball that is hanging above our table. Tell us about your husband. You married into a very famous wine family.
I did. My husband, Damon Franzia, his family's been in the wine business since 1890 in the United States. And I used to work for the company for 13 years, and that's how we met.
So how is it living life as an alcoholic?
You know, it's hard in the mornings, but you know, fitness or figure, you're not really drinking as much when you're, you know, dieting. Obviously, I didn't have one drink for 3 months.
3 months, not one glass of wine.
I didn't even have a sip because it's just like the way I saw it. If I was going to commit to something like that, I was going to do it all the way, and I did.
Now, do you live in like a metropolitan area, or do you actually live on like a winery? I mean, are there
no.
Do you live on a vineyard?
No, we don't live on Falcon Crest.
That's my dream, man. That's always been one of my dreams, just to have a small, you know, operation, you know, be left alone out there, you know. So where have you ever, aside from selling the wine, because I worked in restaurants for many years, and we would often meet that people would promote, certain wines. Yeah. Did you ever... I mean, were you ever exposed to that? Like, they ever take you out there and go, "We want you to learn how this process works, why our grapes are better than the next guy's grapes."
Oh, definitely. You know? Been in the fields and been in the, you know, in the actual winery, saw the wine presses. And
so have you tried the Brangelina wine?
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, Brad and Angelina, I understand, are selling wine now.
Oh, okay.
Now, talk to us about... Chris, are you okay?
I'm fine, buddy.
All right. We want to know how you balance motherhood, wifehood with your fitness. Now, obviously you have young children. You have two young children?
Yes, I have 2 girls.
Okay. And you have to make meals for them as a good mother does. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance their meals with your meals?
I make everybody something different. My children are very particular, and so is my husband.
Do they eat healthily too? Or do you have these kids, you take them out, they're like, "I just want fries and chicken nuggets"?
I have one of those. Mm-hmm. My older daughter will eat anything. She loves sashimi. She loves, you know, kimchi. Mm-hmm. She'll eat or try anything once. My other daughter, she likes corn dogs.
Mm-hmm. Now, do either of the kids have any weight issues, or are they slender kids?
No, they're both. They have good genetics.
Okay, great. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah. Melissa, look, there's a passage here in your bio that says, my mother enrolled me in dance classes when I was 3 until I was 13. What inspired you to be so interested in athletics, committed to athletics? I played sports too when I was a kid, but I never showed this kind of drive or this kind of commitment. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, but that was about it.
I just liked being involved in things. I danced for 10 years. I don't think I was very good, but I think it was a good experience for me because my mom taught me how to have something like a goal or something to do and kept me busy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for children to have opportunities like that. Mm-hmm. And my mom always told me, she said, you can never give up. You don't ever give up. You just work through it.
And you got a degree in English. Did you ever do anything with that degree?
I sold wine.
That's sort of a trick question, Sal, because there is nothing one can do with a degree in English.
If you have a degree in English, I had an ex-girlfriend had a degree in English. I believe she went on to become a teacher.
Go ahead. If you had a master's degree, yes. you progress with it. But getting your basic BA in English might as well be poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, that's what my mom said.
you were at a point in your life. I understand there were some issues with your father and a strange relationship with your father. Mm-hmm. You were overweight. You were depressed. Mm-hmm. And you pulled yourself out of a hole, if you will.
Yes.
And tell us what led you into that hole and what led you out of that hole.
My father had passed, he was passing away, and I was going to see him and I missed it. So I did miss, seeing my father, but we did have some sense of closure because we spoke on the telephone. And after that, I had this strange sense of my own mortality. I thought, oh my God, here I am 40 whatever years old and, my father just died and he was not that old.
So this is rather recent.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And
what did he die of?
Throat cancer.
Was he a smoker?
No, he wasn't, but he had other issues. and then I put on so much weight. I put on about 160 pounds. And for me, that was a lot because I'd never been overweight at all. Mm. And I had a trainer who was not really that good of an influence on me. He wasn't very positive. And
imagine a negative trainer. What the hell is that?
You're doing it all wrong.
Yeah. And so I had just come back from a family vacation and I would put on clothes and I couldn't find anything I liked. And that wasn't normal for me. And I decided I have to change.
Now, this is just speculation on my part, but is it possible that when you were, depressed or whatever, you were almost intentionally gaining weight? I go through that where when I experience, things don't work out my way, I have to fight off the urge to just quit and just go, you know what? I'm not even going to try. If life keeps kicking me every time I do, why am I going to give it the opportunity to keep doing that? But you can't go through life like that.
No, you can't. I think I had a little of that, but I also, I had a lot of people in my life that were very influential to get me to where I had to, or where I wanted to go. I had met with another trainer right after I got back from vacation and we had coffee and I was in tears. I thought, I'm never going to get out of this. I'm never going to get fit again. And she told me I could do anything I wanted. And I remember that we were sitting there and I started to cry and I'm like, can I do it? And I think what a lot of women, especially, moms, I don't think people realize that you can do and be anything you want to be as long as you know what you want.
That's a very good point. And that's what a previous guest mentioned, Monique Marvez. The problem is, and this is to quote our previous guest, Monique, when she would ask people, what do you want? And they say, I don't know.
Right.
A lot of people don't know what they want. You knew you wanted to be happy, healthy, and fit.
Yes. And I wanted our family to be happy, healthy, and fit. My husband lost 35 pounds mm-hmm. during the time that I dieted for my show.
Yeah, I think at this point it's become clear, people need to accept that fitness is no longer about vanity. It's no longer an option. If you want to live a long, healthy life, you need to invest in that. It's like anything else. You want a long, a healthy financial future, you need to invest along the way. I think, particularly in America, we have this idea that because we have such a, the world's best medical care, that you can do anything you want and then there's bound to be a pill for it, and then that'll just clean up the mess. And that's not the case. Diabetes, you lose a limb, that limb ain't growing back. Nope.
That's true.
I know some people, Melissa, that believe I have to change here, I'm pointing to my head, before I can change here, I'm pointing to my body. The reverse may also be true. If you change physically and take the proper steps to change physically, you will actually then change mentally.
I agree. I think for me, I had to change my mind first. Mm-hmm. And I had to decide to be happy and to keep going. And then my body changed. And I was like, wow, this is just like icing on the cake.
Well, you were going through the motions. You used to be at the gym. You were a regular at the gym during your depressed, overweight stage.
I was, but I was, and I was with somebody who was not feeding me good information, mm-hmm. you know? I don't think I was ready to really, I didn't think I could do what I did. Mm-hmm. You know, at that point I watched people, I'm like, oh, look at her. She's doing a figure show. Mm-hmm. I really wish I could do that.
Yeah.
And that changed into, I want to do that. I can do that. And I will do that.
How did having children affect that? I mean, my mom to this day blames me for her gut. She blames me for her gut. She goes, see this, I got this from you. Like, she, talk about guilt. Huh?
Not your other brothers.
No.
You specifically.
Well, because I was the heaviest. I weighed 10 pounds. They weighed like 7 or 8. It's my fault. So did you, I mean, you, when I see pictures of you in a bikini, it doesn't look like any kids ever came out of you. So did you, I mean, I didn't see any stretch marks or anything. I mean, how do you?
I don't know how that happened. I do have stretch marks, but not on my stomach.
Okay. So the bikini covers it. I mean, you don't see anything.
And it's natural.
So. Neither of the children were born cesarean?
Nope.
Do they, be honest here, do you think they hold that against competitors if they were to have kind of a visible scar?
Well, they don't judge skin. Do they judge skin?
Yeah, but that little kind of bottom that they wear is so low cut. I mean, I would think it would have to reveal that scar if you had one.
That bottom that you wear, Melissa, is so, so tiny.
Sal.
Oh, okay. What now?
That's funny. I think, I don't think so. I think, first of all, you can't really see it on stage because it's kind of far away. Okay. And, you have a very strange orange tan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was noticing that. I mean, you look more Latino than me in those pictures. Is that tan? Is that like a spray-on tan? What is that tan?
It's a combination of everything. It was spray-on. It was tanning, which I thought I'd never do. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it on my face, but I did... go tanning. I wanted to be dark. I was very dark.
Have you ever run into any notable names while at the tanning booth, like Hamilton or John Boehner, who they call Orange Americans?
Yeah.
No, I didn't, unfortunately.
Well, did you do the spray on where you stand there and they spray you? I've seen some videos where people pre-show go into your hotel room and spray you.
Yeah, actually, there's a company, Jantana, that does that, and it was... interesting.
So their job is spraying nude women before the show.
Yes.
Are they hiring?
Yeah, you would do great on that. It was a really, really odd experience. I have to be honest with you.
It's being like sprayed
by some random man.
Really? Oh, who you'd never met. He's like, hi, I'm here to spray you.
Yeah. And I said to him, I said, you have a great job. And he's like, yeah, I do this all day. It's like nothing to me now.
You know, I'm sure that's at least partially true, but at the same time, isn't that kind of the answer you have to give? Wouldn't it concern you if your tanning guy was like, yeah, man, I love this job.
Yeah, this is the greatest job ever.
Swing. Hey, so I've heard this before that sometimes some people can exercise so much it actually affects things like menstruation, anything like that. Have you ever pushed it so far that... you've had medical issues.
Well, Chris, you asked the most personal questions, menstruation, natural childbirth, cesarean. Jeez,
weren't you the one salivating on the microphone just a second ago?
I was salivating. I wasn't asking personal questions. Please respond to Chris's question.
I will. The first show I did when I was 25, I got down to 9% body fat. And it was just at that time I did stop menstruating.
Wow.
But just for a month. And then...
So wait, if you stop menstruating as a woman, does that mean that you cannot conceive during that portion?
I think so.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, actually. But this show
Chris
that
would
I
like
did,
to know.
I didn't.
Chris would like to meet women who are no longer menstruating. That's what he'd like to find.
Aside from the ankle injury you got when you were an adolescent, have you ever sustained any other serious or even semi-serious injuries that maybe prevented you from competing or even threatened your ability to do what you needed to do before the next competition?
Prior, when I did put on some weight, that was also injury related. I was in Hawaii and I threw out my back. I had a back spasm. And because of that, it was really hard for me to work out because my core wasn't there. I couldn't You know, I was so afraid to hurt myself, but I got past that.
What was your regimen for getting past that? Were you, you know, Thai massages every day or when?
I did do some Thai massages, yes. I went to a chiropractor and I started doing Bikram yoga. Bikram yoga.
Is that the hot one where it's hot?
Yeah, it's super hot. It's 105 degrees and it's incredible. It's 90 minutes and it really helps stretch me out and it's good for my mind and my body.
105 degrees in a crowded room?
Yes.
Hmm. Are the women barefoot?
Oh yeah, hardly clothes, Sal.
do they have pedicures like French tip?
Some of them.
Okay.
Now, Sal, I do a kind of a perfunctory stretching regimen every 2-3 days. It's how I keep my back healthy. But when I see some of the things that they do in yoga, I mean, I've seen some stretches I literally never thought of. Have you ever seen this one where they got the leg kind of going behind them and then they reach over? And then they pull the toe. So it's almost like they're trying to pull their foot to the back of their head. Like,
yeah, that's
I'm not even sure
one.
I understand what the point of that is.
French tiptoes behind the head?
It's like that video we watched that one time.
Oh, with the Russian flexibility girls.
Right.
Oh, yes. Melissa, are you open to having some of our listeners befriend you on Facebook? Maybe coming out to see your next show?
Sure. Yeah.
How do they find you on Facebook?
Oh, they find me on Facebook. My name's Melissa Martin Franzia.
That's Franzia.
Correct.
Martin is your maiden name?
Yes.
Okay. So your name was Melissa Martin prior to meeting Mr. Franzia.
That's correct.
That's a good name.
Does he plan on doing anything, taking the wine in a different direction or anything like that? Or is he just one of these guys who's like, hey, my parents did it, my grandparents did it, my kids will do it, you know?
He's very active in the business. I think they're just going to stick to the wine. They've been pretty successful and it's a great family business. It's a great family.
Do you guys make box wine?
You know, they don't make the box wine anymore. We do have box wine, but it's under a different brand. But the Franzia box wine, that was my husband's grandparents.
Me asking her that is a clever way of finding out if I've ever tried the wine.
Oh, I thought it was a clever way of asking, how can I get free wine?
I am a little disappointed. I would have loved that if you'd brought some in. I don't claim to be a wine connoisseur, but I did work in a really nice private club for a while. Magic Johnson was a member. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a member. Cool. And they exposed me to some delicacies.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. The good news is for people like your family's company is I have been very displeased with the dispensary marijuana. I just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I've been drinking a lot more. So I've been keeping your family in business. Let's get into our final segment of the day. Speaking of drinking and smoking, this is called Under the Influence.
When you're strange, faces come out of the rain. When you're strange, no one remembers your name.
This is where we relay some of our stories of the craziest things, strangest things that we've done or seen while being under the influence of anything. You know, LSD, pot, Franzia wine, anything. My story is such. Once upon a time, some friends and I went to a ranch in Antelope Valley, and we each took a tab of acid. I then proceeded to excuse myself from the group. Because one of my favorite pastimes while being under the influence of LSD was to remove my clothing. Which I would still do today if I had a physique like Melissa. So I venture off, remove my clothing. I'm sunbathing on this ranch. I am one with the universe. I mean, it was awesome. All of a sudden in the distance, up ahead in the distance, I hear a truck and I hear dogs. And that's not a good combination when you're naked in a field. So I wait. I start to gather my clothing. Don't put it on yet. And all of a sudden, I see two good old boys in a pickup truck with two Rottweilers and rifles. And I'm naked and I'm tripping. They come up to me. What are you doing here? They had accents like that, even though we were in the Antelope Valley. And I said, I'm just enjoying the sunshine. This is our property. I was like, this is your property? Apparently, I had wandered off, left my friend's property and went onto their property and was laying out there naked. I thought, and then I started to let him come down, you know.
Did they address the nudeness at any point?
No, because as I'm talking to them, I'm putting my clothes on. I said, look, I didn't know I was on your property. Let me go back. as I'm putting my clothes on, they are following me in their truck with their freaking rifles and their Rottweilers following me down a hill. As I'm walking down a hill, putting my clothes on, high is diminishing until I reach my friends. And then these good old boys said, don't do that again. And then they drove off.
I like how these guys are protecting land that there's probably nothing worth stealing on.
No, there was nothing on there.
Rifles, dogs, for what? It's a desert. It's a piece of desert. Why would you waste the gas to even come out and address the situation?
I was using their property and it probably hadn't been used in a while. Chris, what's your under the influence story?
When I was about 11 years old, my brother was about 15 and he kind of fell in with the wrong crowd. These guys are a little bit older than he was. They all worked together. And to celebrate their first paycheck at this new restaurant that had opened up and they all got jobs there, they bought Night Train. And they just drank like assholes. You know what I mean? Just drank. So anyway, my brother comes home, right? He's not just like too, like he didn't drink too much. He comes home, he's freaking green, dude. Like his hue is green. And my dad is like, what the hell is going on here? And, you know, my brother's like, I went to McDonald's and I must have got a bad burger, Dad. And he just would not relent with this bullshit story. Like it got to the point where he was so messed up that my dad started to strip him down so he could like throw him in the shower. And he's still, my burger, Dad, what did they do with my burger? And finally, thank God, his friend Kyle was like, hey, yeah, we all went out drinking. He drank way too much. And that's what happened. But the part that I'll never forget is right before he's going to put my brother in the shower, my brother, like you could tell that he felt like something was about to happen. So my dad sits him on the toilet, right? And he's sitting on the toilet, pants around his ankles, and he throws up on the ground.
Nice.
he's sitting there, you know what I mean? And like, and he utilized the wrong function in the wrong direction. I was just like, dude, and this is the most pathetic.
How old were you watching this?
I was about, the whole family was there. Yeah. Remember, I mean, my brother was claiming to have been poisoned.
Yeah.
He walked in the door and within the space of 10 minutes, he's, you know, he looks like he's dying. My dad finally said to his friend, I'm going to call an ambulance. I'm going to call the police. Yeah. So I need you to tell me if what he's saying is true. And sure. That's when my brother's friend said, yeah, no, it's not true at all. But I'll never forget that. And as a consequence, I've never been, I mean, I've thrown up maybe once or twice from drinking, but I've never been a disgusting lush like that. And I'm kind of glad it happened because it turned me off to that, you know?
Yeah. All right. Now's the portion where any of the Martin or Franzia family, please turn off your computers. Please no longer go on iTunes for the next few minutes because Melissa's about to share her under the influence story.
Okay. Well, when I was in college at West Virginia University, I was in a sorority, Chi Omega. So then I came out to UCLA for the summer and lived in the house there. And I met some fellow Chios. And we would go to this particular bar in Westwood. And the lines were always way too long. And so we decided we were going to go in through the kitchen. And we made it. We made it into the club through the kitchen. And we hid in the bathroom on top of the toilets while they were looking for us. And we somehow, no one found us.
How old were you and what were you drinking?
I was 22 and I think I was drinking vodka Collins.
Mm-hmm. And were you wearing 5-inch heels like you do in the competitions?
I think so. Yes.
Nice.
I love that. Did you sell it? You walk in the back door. There's like a whole staff of people cutting chicken and stuff. And you're like, what's up, guys? VIP. This is not the VIP entrance.
And did you continue stuff like that throughout your college years?
I had a few instances of that.
Did you do that? You know, I had a friend who joined a sorority, and part of the pledging of the sorority was to go out and steal something. Like they had to shoplift. But the way that they did it was they tipped off the store owners and told them, well, some of our sorority girls are going to come in and shoplift. Just let them. I mean, that's not real shoplifting. Did you have to do any silly pranks like that?
No, we didn't do that sort of thing.
Well, Sal, what owner would agree to that?
Well, you know.
Did they pay him in advance?
Yeah, you know, like, oh, whatever they steal, we're going to pay you back. You know, that's what they did.
That's funny. So they set him up for a prank, not unlike what you did to me not too long ago.
That's true. I told Chris left a gas can in front of my apartment. I told him that the manager charged me $100 for a hazardous waste disposal fee. But Chris, though, being the good friend that he is, he gave me $50 saying, hey, here's my portion. Sorry about that. You know, sorry about
that. Nice.
And I told him I was just playing with you, man. He didn't charge me.
Oh, you don't know how pained I was, Sal, between having to miss work from being sick, having to go to the doctor today and having to pay you that money. I was ready to just ball up in bed and just end it. If you had to expose the joke, I may not be around much longer.
Sorry, Chris. You have been listening to Registered Ear Offenders, also known as REO, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z. Our lovely guest in the studio today has been Melissa Martin Franzia, fitness competitor. Be sure to visit her on Facebook. We'd like to thank Skid Row Studios. We'd like to thank Mr. Jeremy Hansen, Mr. Wes Hambright of Orange Dog Music. Thank you for listening to Registered Ear Offenders. Say goodbye, Chris.
Take care, guys. Thanks so much for listening. See you again next week. Same time, same place.